Okay. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. We'll pray and we'll jump right into this. Father Yahweh, just bless you as always, and we glorify you for who you are in our lives. And we just seek wisdom and understanding this training school night. We bless you in advance for what you're going to reveal to us. And we thank you in the name of Yahushua. We pray. Amen. All righty. We're going to start out in Galatians chapter 5, and what I want to do is to give us an understanding of certain things concerning the law, and we've talked about some things before, but I think it's important that we get a little bit more clear in some areas, and we look at some things. In Galatians 5, we'll move around to some other scriptures if necessary, so that you can, or we can walk in the true knowledge of the scriptures, okay? Now, Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, in order to understand this, well, I'm going to read verse 2 and then I'll go back up to verse 1. Verse 2 says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, in order for us to understand this, we need to first of all put things in their proper order. Because if we don't, then we'll start teaching a false doctrine that based upon misrepresenting what Paul is saying. Okay? So the first thing we need to do is there are certain words that we need to understand. First of all, we need to understand liberty. Okay, and then we know that this liberty has been made by something Christ has done. In other words, Christ has made us free, and we need to understand what that is. So we'll look at the word liberty and free. As you see, free and liberty, they have the same or are similar similar wording here, because as you see, it says liberty, and I'll run the scripture reference on it here, liberty, and as you see it here, liberty here, and you see the word free here, and I'm going to click on it too, and I'm going to go back and forth. So the definition of meaning for liberty in here is in 1658. Freedom, okay, liberty, freedom. And then when you look at free here, and you click on it, you're going to see it change to the left of the screen, and you're going to see it point to 1658 again, as you see 1658 here. So when you see free and you click on it, it says from 1658. So it points us out that liberty and free has pretty much the same meaning. Okay? So as we go back to the scriptures now, it says stand fast therefore in the freedom, liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, or has made us have this liberty. Okay? So we understand that the liberty has been made because of something that Christ has done to free us up from it. To free us up, I'll say it that way. Now, when you look at verse 2 says, "But I call unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In other words, Christ gave us a liberty, but based upon what's going on with this church of Galatians, there was something that was happening to where men were leading people back into a bondage that Paul is dealing with. Because verse 3, we'll go back up to verse 1. Verse 3 says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Now, when you look at the whole law here, read verse 4, and I'm going to go back up to verse 1. "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law." So, when you look at verse 1 now, verse 1 is saying that Christ has freed us up. Christ has made us free. So we're not in bondage to be circumcised, especially dealing with our nation. You can see some things happening, I believe in Acts 15, where you had issues that was going on where Israelites were telling Israelites were telling those who were had faith and had been freed by Christ that in order for them to be justified, they had to be circumcised. So Paul is saying, okay, if you're a debtor to this, then Christ is no profit to you. Christ is no profit to you. And then verse 4, he says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law." So you had Israelites who were still saying, you are in right standing with God by following all the rituals of the law. Now the law is right now, but Paul was pointing out that Christ made us free because he paid the ultimate price in order for us to be justified. So we obey the law still, but the law doesn't make us righteous. Christ makes us righteous because of what he has done. So that's what Paul was saying. Now you don't have to be circumcised to be righteous. Christ has made us justified or in right standing with God because of what he has done. So he said, circumcision don't make you righteous now. Okay? But he's not saying don't obey the law. And we'll see this now. Verse 1 again. "Steadfast, therefore, in liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Okay? Now, we're going to look at what makes us free. What makes us free? We're going to go to John 8. And we'll look at verse 32. John 8, verse 32. John 8, verse 32 said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, when you look at verse 32, the word free has the same meaning. Same meaning as the free in verse 1. So you see the free in verse 1, you look at the definition here. Liberate. You look at free here in John 8:32, it's to liberate, same meaning. So John 8:32 said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, we need to understand what the truth is now. Okay? We know that from verse 1 again, it says, "Stand fast therefore the liberty, the freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." What's the yoke of bondage? Saying we're righteous because we're circumcised. That's what Paul was saying. You're not righteous because you're circumcised, yet you still obey the law as the Israelites to be circumcised every 8 days old. But that's not what makes us righteous because we are circumcised. We still obey the law, but that doesn't make us in right standing with Yah. Christ has made us in right standing with Yah. He paid, he died for our sins, and those who believe believe him, have been made, have been made free from the law of sin and death, okay? So that's what it's talking about, the bondage and things like that. Now, I'm going to exit out of John 8, and we're going to continue on. Verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. When you look at justified, verse 4, the word justified here, it's here. It means to render innocent. So we're not rendered innocent because we obey the law. We're rendered innocent because Christ has made us free. Okay? Christ, verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law. Christ is not effective, you know, for you if you believe that you're justified by the law. He says you are fallen from grace. In other words, all of us, I still obey the law. I obey the dietary laws. We obey the dietary laws, Leviticus 11. We obey other things concerning the law, but the law doesn't make us in right standing with Yah. Christ does. He has given us that liberty. He's made us free because we know the truth that Yah sent his son, okay, to redeem us, to be the sacrifice, you know, as we dealt with the law and the status and different things like that. And so it is letting us know again that verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law. In other words, those who believe that they're in right standing with Yah because they obey the law. In other words, me not eating pork doesn't make me in right standing with Yah. Although the law tells me not to do that and I obey that law. That doesn't make me in right standing with Yah. Me believing what Christ has done for my sin, he was a sacrifice for my sin, has made me in right standing with Yah. Not because I don't eat pork. Okay? I obey that law, but that doesn't make me in right standing with Yah. Okay? So it says now, if you think that you are in right standing with Yah because you don't eat pork, in other words, you're justified, you're innocent because you don't eat pork. He said, and that's an example that he uses, he said, you are fallen from grace. What is grace? Grace is, in a nutshell, it is what Christ has done for us that put us in a position to be innocent, although we didn't deserve it. We were guilty, but because of what Christ has done for us, it makes us innocent. So he says, if you now are justified or saying, you know, you're right standing with Yah because you follow the law, he said, then you follow from the grace of Christ. Okay? Then verse 5, he says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. In other words, by the Spirit or through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. In other words, I believe what Christ has done for me, and I through the Spirit, I have a hope to walk in that righteousness by faith. In other words, I'm still hope because I got to endure to the end. I can't say I believe what Christ has done for me and then turn around and walk away and never continue in my faith walk in this hope that I have in Christ through the Spirit. I have to continue on. So he says, for we through the Spirit now. What is the Spirit? It is the Ruach. It's the mental state. For we through the Pneuma, the breath of Yah, okay, the Spirit, okay, the breath of Yah, the mental disposition as we see it. So we through the Spirit, the breath of Yah that deals with our mental state, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, we through the Spirit wait for the hope. Okay, wait for the hope. We have confidence in our righteousness through faith. Okay? I know that I'm a righteous man. You know that you are righteous because through the Spirit, the Spirit, the breath of Yah that has breathed on us and caused us now to have a mindset change. Okay? Through that, we wait for the hope of righteousness. We're going to endure. I know that I'm going to see this walk through to the end, and I'm going to stand before my God, my God, being justified through my faith in Christ and by him breathing on me that enabled my mind to continue to transform and be everything that he's called me to be. So for we through the Spirit, the breath of Yah, that transforms our mind to continue in our hope of righteousness by faith. Faith is trusting Yah. Okay? Yah breathes upon each one of us that enables us to continue our trust, because without him we can do nothing, just like our Savior said. So I can't endure it to the end if y'all don't breathe on me on a daily basis. You can't endure it to the end if y'all don't breathe on you on a daily basis. If he don't release his spirit to breathe and to transform my mind on a daily basis to continue this hope in righteousness through faith. Meaning I don't have to see it. I just know that I'm going to endure it to the end. I don't have to see the end to know I'm going to get there. Why? Because I have the Spirit that's breathing on me daily to confirm my walk with Yah, and that Christ has given me this liberty to stand in him and accept what he has done for me, and I'm justified through grace. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But it was given to us when we were enemies. When we were not thinking about Yah at all, his son paid the ultimate price. He became the ultimate sacrifice in order for us to be breathed upon so that we can walk in this grace and we can continue on to the end by faith. Okay? Verse 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ, Yahushua Mashiach, neither circumcision availeth anything." In other words, nor uncircumcision. In other words, my physical attributes doesn't make me in right standing with y'all. Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Here we go now. Starting to get to the bottom. My faith, your faith, worketh by love. How do we work this thing? Faith working by love. Let's continue on now. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Why? Because the truth gives us freedom. Verse 1. The truth gives us freedom. John 8:32 says, "You know the truth, and the truth makes you will set you free." So he's telling them, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" This is the question. He said, this persuasion coming not of him that calleth you. Who is persuading you? It's not the one who gave you the liberty that's persuading you to go back now. That's why I still obey the law. I'm going to use Leviticus 11 again. I still obey the dietary law, but I don't go into bondage by thinking that those dietary laws make me righteous. Christ has done that. He's the only one. He's the only avenue. He's the only door. He stands at the door and knocks. Any man open it, he come in and sup with him. He is the one. Any man, you go in, or if we try to go in any other kind of way to the Father, we're a thief and a robber. We have to go through him as the door. So Paul is saying, who hindered you? It wasn't the one who persuaded you and called you to this, who gave you the freedom in the first place. So why would I now believe that Christ, or believe that the Father sent his Son to pay the ultimate price for my sin, to free me up, to know that I'm now in right standing with him and I can endure to the end because the Spirit is breathing on me to transform my mind on a daily basis so that I can endure to the end? Why would I now turn around and say, not eating pork is what makes me righteous? Paul said, when you do that,
That's something that is hindering you, because now you think your right standing with God is based upon something that is not able to make you righteous. That's a flaw. That's a flaw. Why am I saying it's a flaw? Because somebody may sneak some pork in there on something that you're eating. You know, we went to a barbecue place not here too long ago, and boy, they had some outstanding potato salad, man, and we chunked down that thing a few times before you know it. My youngest daughter, Delana, said, man, there's some bacon in there. She said, I remember when we used to eat bacon, man. I remember that taste of that bacon. And we started looking through it, it had bacon in it. Well, if I was depending on not eating the pork to the time of my righteousness, I would have been an unrighteous man right there. Because I'm justified now, or thinking that I'm justified because I am not a pork eater. And since I ate it that day, now I'm unrighteous because I ate something that I felt that made me justified. Well, once we realized what it was, we sit it to the side, but we were still walking in righteousness because we had been freed from the bondage of thinking we're righteous because we're eating that because of what Christ has done. Christ made us free. So I was like, dang on it, man. They snuck it in on us, but I'm still a righteous man. I'm still following the law, but the law don't make me righteous, though. I push it to the side as soon as I realize what it was, but I still obey the law, but pushing it to the side didn't make me more righteous. Christ had already set me free. So I didn't have to say, well, man, I got to start all over now, because I dropped the ball. I had some pork today, so I'm unrighteous, so I got to start all over. No, I pushed it aside and said, I'm still operating within the boundaries of the law, but at the same time, that didn't make me righteous today. I was just as righteous before I ate it. I'm just as righteous right now after eating it as I was before I ate it, because that doesn't make me justified.
How do you balance that?
Okay.
Seems like that's the problem.
Okay, we get to it. Good question.
One way or the
good other. Good question. Now ask that again when we get down to it. So let me explain what justified is, and then I want you to ask that question again. So remember, what justified is declared righteous in a nutshell. So let's just look at the word, verse 4, and that was a good question, and that's exactly where we're headed. When we look at justified, it means surrender, to be just. Or innocent, free. So when I say I'm justified, I'm saying I'm free. Okay? So to be justified, free, righteous. That's why I said righteous, okay? Now, don't forget that question, because it's an important one, and I want to ask again. Now, we're going to read on, remembering the question in mind. Now, verse 8 says, this persuasion coming not of him that called you. In other words, Christ is saying, Lord, I didn't make you righteous because you don't eat pork. You don't eat it, you obey the law, but that's not what makes you righteous. So Christ said, I didn't persuade you to think that you were righteous because you didn't eat it. You just obeying the law. Okay? The law is right. But don't think you're righteous because you're obeying. Okay, now, go ahead.
It's always been that way?
Wait a minute.
Even prior to Christ. The reason why I asked that question is, when you look at the example, I think it was Ezekiel, where Yah told him to do something that had been deemed unclean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he done.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But when he did it, it wasn't like it made him righteous from God's perspective, even though at that point there was no Christ as the sacrificial lamb. Mm-hmm. So
basically, in a nutshell, you're asking at this point, has it always been that the law didn't make us righteous?
Right.
Correct. Because this is what the scripture says. The scripture says the law only showed us what we were doing wrong.
Right.
So it never made us righteous. It gave us a boundary. It's like the red light. me obeying the red light, I mean, red light, what you want to call it, me stopping at the red light doesn't make me look around and say, well, see, look at me. It is a boundary to let me know that I'm crossing over or staying within the boundaries of what is right. So it just always show me what I'm doing. That's why they always had to sacrifice the animal to make an atonement for the sin. Because, and that's why and it's fascinating that we're even talking about it at this, talking about it at this point, and this is why God has us doing it. So I'm going to go to Leviticus 11 just to show you, to confirm the question that you're asking. You can go anywhere in Leviticus, because there are a lot of the laws in Leviticus. I just started Leviticus 19. It says, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, Yah, your God, your El, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother. That's a law. Okay? So, every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am Yah, your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourself molten God. So I use it for example. So when they made the molten God, it showed them what they were doing wrong. And so not making a molten God didn't put them in position to where they were, that their sins were forgiven, so to speak, because there could have been some other things that they were doing. It had to be a sacrifice.
So listen, let me ask this.
Go ahead.
So does it boil down to a heart issue when it comes down to this kind of stuff?
You get a head of lemon, yeah. That's okay. Yeah. No, that's okay. Because you get it. Because here's the proof right here just to show you. verse 6 says, Galatians 5, verse 6, says, for in Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith would work it by love, heart issue. So you're not ahead of it. You're just on verse 6. So you're not ahead of it. So love is a heart issue, mental state. Remember what we said? Verse 5, for if we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So what I said, the Spirit is what? The breath of Yah. That deals with our mental state, that puts us in the position to continue on in the walk by faith. How do we continue on in the walk by faith? Love has to be the motivation. How do we walk in love? We're gonna keep going down these verses. So yeah, son, it is a heart issue.
Master.
Yes, ma'am. Hold on a minute, Mama, because we're Alan.
Okay.
Then you make your comment. Go ahead.
Okay.
The reason why I can only come to that conclusion is because if it's not something that is based on just the law or you obeying the law, and a person who is obeying the law still could be wrong from the context of. Even look like the Pharisees, for example, where later on it says, okay, well, do what they say, but don't be like them because their heart is far from
exactly
God, right? So you can only draw that conclusion, right? If based on all the context and everything that you see in Scripture, that it's not just in the old band of the letter of the law, it's more of the spirit of the law
than
the letter of it.
Yeah, and so even from a perspective of when you mentioned the Pharisees, Christ said, he said, when he said don't do as they say, not as they do, he said because on the outward appearance, they're white and sceptre, which are tombs. He said, but inside, they dead man bones. He described them as a tomb, that a scepter or mausoleum, as they said in this day and time. He said, they look pretty on the outside, he said, but on the inside, they're like dead man's bones. Because, like you said, it's the issue of the heart. It's the issue of the heart. So you are correct. Go ahead, Monica.
Okay, so
Okay, so we're not righteous by the law because Christ made us righteous.
Yes, ma'am. That's verse 1.
Okay, so...
Go ahead.
So I've heard some people say that I am the righteousness of God no matter what I do. I can kill somebody or I can commit all kinds of sins and I'm still the righteousness of God.
Okay, we're gonna look at all of that. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that that's always been a concern for me because if that is true, and I know Christ died so that we might have these opportunities and experiences, but you can't just, well, you have to help me to understand if that's the case, why are we even trying to live for him if he already died for us, he's our righteousness, and we can do it however we want to do?
That's still a heart issue, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you can't, it's funny that we're going down this road because I ain't trying to sidetrack this thing.
No, you're not. Just go ahead.
I think it was coming to me earlier today or yesterday. It's like, I think it's interesting that people as a society, they throw people away. And the examples that came to me are something that I didn't throw people away when they did this, but I think it boils down to the heart issue behind what was going on. So, for example, if you look at Moses, well, Moses technically was a murderer because he killed at least a manslaughterer, because he killed the Egyptian. But that didn't stop Yah from using him, to set Israel free. I mean, to set Israel free.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it may boil down to a heart issue behind what's going on with Moses from the context of other things. Because, granted, I get where you're coming from, Mom, from the perspective of you can't just go out and do, well, I'm just going to murder somebody.
Right.
Yeah, Moses murdered somebody, I'm going to murder somebody. That's a heart issue.
Right. So from that perspective, I'm going to ask a question that you know each one of you can answer in your own mind. And I'm going to use the example that Mama Co said, how an individual would say, well, I'm just going to operate in grace, and there's nothing that I have to do. I can just do these things, and then just say, well, Christ has made me free. I'm operating in the grace of God. There's a verse in here that reveals or confirms what Elder is saying. Because he said it's a heart issue, and so when you look at it from a heart issue, you focus on verse 6. Verse 6 is, for in Jesus Christ, Yahushua Mashiach, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith was working by love. In other words, as we continue on, verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So if my faith has to endure to the end, and this hope I must continue by the Spirit, the breath of God that blows on us on a daily basis to deal with our mind, thus Elder says a heart issue, then if I'm walking around saying, well, I'm just going to kill somebody, and then I can just operate in this freedom that I have in Christ. Well, that's a love issue, heart issue, as Elder pointed out. So that's why I'm saying if I'm going to operate in this faith, then I have to do it by love. And love now sits a barrier around me, Father Ghost, that I don't do anything that I want to, because that love keeps me in a boundary that makes me say, I got faith in Yah through Christ, who has given me this freedom, and this freedom, I operate in it in love. So I don't want to do things that break the law. In other words, because I'm operating in this love, I don't want to eat pork. But the pork doesn't make me righteous. But because I have
this liberty now, this liberty has freed me up not to disobey, but to obey. Because I walk in love. And Christ, I mean, God says, those that love me keep my commandments. So me sitting aside that outstanding potato salad was because I love Yah. Therefore, I walk by faith and I push it aside and obey the law that he said concerning the diet. It doesn't make me righteous, but my love for my Yah to obey his commandment makes me push it aside. It didn't make me righteous. I'm righteous because of the freedom that I have in Christ. But because I have that freedom, it caused me to love my Yah and obey his word. That's the freedom now. The freedom is not to get outside the law. The freedom is to stay within the boundaries of it. And as we continue to read, we're going to see it in the scripture. Okay? Any other questions coming before we move to the next verse? So keep that in mind. The other says a heart issue. I'm taking the word love and binding them together, and that is the heart issue. Because those that love God keep his commandments. Okay? Is the law showed us what we were doing wrong. It doesn't make us righteous. But because I love my Father and I walk in the liberty that his Son has given me, and so do you, I now obey those laws. It don't make me in right standing with Yah, but it make me love Yah. Because the liberty I have through the Son, to love him to say, I want to do everything he said to do, and I want to stay away from everything he said to stay away from. That's love. That's a heart issue. And that's what the Pharisees did say. They have, as the other pointed out, and that's why Christ said, do as they say. Obey the law. But don't do what they do. Because their hearts are not right. They're not walking in the love of God to obey what the Father has said. Okay? So that's how we start to see the difference now. We start to understand the difference. Now we're going to let the scripture prove what we just discussed. Now, what we've all just confirmed. Now, Paul says again, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? John 8:32, you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, Christ, verse 1, has caused us to have this freedom. We know the truth, that the Father sent his Son to redeem us, to make us righteous through his shed blood. That is the truth. We walk in that liberty, and we know that we have it through faith. We know that we walk by grace through faith. Okay? Verse 4. Now, verse 6, 8 says, this persuasion coming not of him that calleth you. The Father sent his Son. The Son has been obedient. So we know if we try to be righteous any other way but through Christ, then that didn't come from the kingdom. Okay? Then he goes on and says, verse 9, a little leaven is the whole lump. In other words, if I think I'm righteous because I don't eat pork, then that's a little leaven now. And before you know it, I'm thinking I'm righteous because I obey all the law or all the other things that I'm adding to in order to make me justified. That's sin, boy. You are falling from grace when you start doing that now. Verse 10, you have something? Go ahead if you do.
I mean, just that statement shows how far off the so-called body of Christ is.
There you go. Verse 10 now. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. Heart issue. When you look at 10, otherwise minded, to exercise on the mind, entertain, sentiment, opinion. This is all. Every time you deal with the mind, you deal with the heart. Don't let your heart go any other way. Stay steadfast in this. Know that Christ is your redeemer. Stay steadfast in that. Yes, obey the dietary laws, all the other laws is there, but stay steadfast in your living that's been given to you. Okay? Now, verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever be he be. In other words, those who are coming and saying, you got to be righteous because you do all these other things. You got Israelites out there saying, you got to show them your root. You can't show them your root. You got to do all these things. You got to do all these other things. Y'all going to cut you off. No, I have faith in the Son. The Father sent the Son. He was the ultimate sacrifice. My faith is in that. I'm not falling from that grace. I'm holding on to that. He made it easy for us to be right standing. So I don't have to go around here flipping through all these things and making sure. Yeah, I want to obey the law. That doesn't make me in right standing with y'all. Neither does it with you. Okay. Now, verse 12 says, I would they were even cut off which troubled you. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty. Hey, come on, go. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, freedom. You know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We've been called to it. Romans, John 8, 32, we know the truth. We're talking truth. It's setting us free. But now we've been called unto it. Only use it. Now we can't turn around and use it now. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. There you go, mama go. In other words, I can't take now this liberty and say, well, I'm just going to go do this and do that and this, because I can always jump that old great side. No, Scripture says you can't take that liberty now and use it as a case to do carnal stuff. It says, but by love, serve one another. Love, the heart issue, is what makes us serve one another. And so it is all this information, we're not taking this information now so we can go out and say, I got the right to do something I ain't got no business doing because I got the grace of Christ in my life. He shed his blood for my sin, and so I ain't perfect. I can just go out and do this. No, that's a work of iniquity. Those are the ones that Christ is going to say, I never knew you. Get away from me. So he tells us, don't use this liberty as an occasion to do stuff carnally. Now, what does it mean, occasion of the flesh? Let's deal with it. Occasion of the flesh. What is it, verse 11? Verse 10? Wait a minute. I lost it when I... 13, okay. Verse 13, when you look at of the flesh, it says carnally, human nature. All this stuff. Flesh, you see at the top. So it's dealing with the human nature, external, the physical, moral unrighteousness in a nutshell. Don't use this liberty now to go and do that kind of stuff. And a lot of people, as Elder pointed out, a lot of people are using this liberty as an occasion to go do something they don't have the business doing. Because they say, Christ know my heart, yeah, he does. He knows not love. Because those who love him keep the Father's commandments. They don't try to figure out how to break them. Their goal every day is to keep them. Okay? Now, as we continue to read on now, we serve one another with this liberty. Verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Here's where people make the mistake and they start saying love has replaced the law. That's not what it's saying. It's saying love makes you obey the law, all of it. That's what it's saying. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. So when you look at the word fulfill, let's deal with the word fulfill. For all the laws fulfill, to make replete, to cram, to furnish, to influence. In other words, the law influences you by one word. Elder said, a heart issue. Love. All the laws fulfill. In other words, I fulfill it, I fully preach it. Christ came to fulfill, fully preach the law. Why? Because he loved his Father. Thus he obeyed his commandments. So all the law is fulfilled. I don't eat pork because I love my Father. Thus I obey what he said. I don't do these things, or I do these things because I love the Father. So all the law is fulfilled. I fully preach. I walk in the letter of each one of them because it's a heart issue. I love my God. So now let all of us know that, like Mama Coach brought up, well, how do these people sit around here and use this as a case to do stuff? No, when you love Yah, you get up each day to fulfill the law. I want to fulfill his law is his word. You get up each day to fulfill his word. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My love in obeying Yah has caused me each day to get up, and my goal is to please him. That's love. Because what he say I do, and what he says not to do, I don't do. Okay? Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, because they're serving one another up here. I don't want to just hurt someone just because I don't, you know, I just don't like them. Because I want to walk in the love of Yah to fulfill the law. Thou shalt not kill. That law applies to this very day. You don't throw that law away because you're over in the New Testament and say, well, since Christ has given me the liberty, as Mama Goat mentioned, I did not go out and kill somebody. No. The scripture says you fulfill the law by walking in love. So you don't want to kill nobody because that goes against Yah's law. So I'm not looking to kill someone. We know that the law, there are things in the law that allows us to protect ourselves if certain things take place. But I'm not going out, or you're not going out to break the law. Why? Because we love our Father. And his Son has given us that liberty to have the grace to continue on and walk in that righteousness and have a transformation of the mind on a daily basis to cause us to have a heart issue in the right place to obey him. Thus, all the law is fulfilled in one word. I love my God, therefore I obey his word. This is teaching truth, and truth making us free. But then he goes on and says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. In other words, don't let this confusion and this warring and this fighting and all this cause both of you to be consumed. Go to the next verse. Then he says this, and people, they don't understand this verse here, these next two verses. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So a person says, you get a lot of people who don't understand this verse. They say, man, I just walk in the Spirit all the time. I'll be like, how do you walk in the Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit? Let's look at, I'm going to pull up a verse here. Romans. Is it Romans 8, verse 17? I think it's verse 17. Oh, no. I can't remember how it's quoted.
It is about
the law. It says something on the order of the spirit. Walking in the spirit is obeying the law. It's something on the order of walking in the spirit, but it's in Romans. Something about walking in the spirit is something in reference to the law. Walking in the spirit, I can't remember exactly where it's quoted. But I'll continue on. If you find it, that's fine. If you don't, I ain't gonna lose no sleep about it. But I'm gonna go back to Galatians 5 and continue on with that. So if you find it, but I do know it's in Romans, I just can't remember which book. Now, Galatians 5 verse 16. I may be able to run a cross reference on it. See if it'll do it. Give it to me. Romans. Try Romans 7. Romans 7 around verse 18. I think I may have said it wrong. Romans 7 and Romans 8. Okay. And I'm going to continue on it. Who? Romans 8 and what? I'll just continue on it. If you find it, just give it to me. Okay, now, as you look at again, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So when a person walk in the Spirit, it is saying you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, as you go back up, verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called to liberty." Christ has given us that liberty. We don't use that liberty now as an occasion of the flesh, but love to serve one another. So the love is what keeps us walking within the boundaries of that liberty. Now, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." How does a person walk in the Spirit? "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." In other words, they contrary, as you see, as it continues on. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Okay? Verse 18 says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not," maybe in this verse, I think it's right here, "but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Here it is now. If you're led of the Spirit, and this is where the church, where the church or Christians start to say the law has been done away with. It says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And so they have to see, because I'm led in the Spirit, I'm not bound under the laws. That's not what it's saying. You have to look at the word from the way, the word under from the way God teaches it. Y'all wants us to understand.
So does that mean, as long as God ain't instructing us, you follow that law unless he can give you something that would deviate from it?
So, let's look at it. Let's look at the words, and then we'll come back to what you just said. Verse 18 said, "But if ye be led, driven." So remember, every time I talk about led, I want you to think about sheep and a sheepdog behind them driving them. People trip me out when they said, you know, "The Lord went before." No, the Lord behind you driving you where he wants you to go. That's how the Spirit leads you. Spirit leads you. Remember, I gave you an example from the back of your head. He's behind you, turning you where you should go. He's not in front of you, pulling your hand. That's why they start talking about the footsteps and all that. That's cute, but it just ain't scriptural. The Spirit drives you. So when you look at the word led, it means to bring, to drive, to induce. Okay, to lead away, be open. So it's from a perspective of God driving you forward. Okay, so again, verse 18, "But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under. Look at the word under. Under means under, place of, beneath, or with verbs, the agency or means, through, with the accusation case of place, whether underneath or where below. Where below or time. So what this is really saying, verse 18, if you are led of the Spirit, you are not below the boundaries of the law. Thus, a heart issue and a love issue. I don't want to go underneath the radar of killing someone because I'm led by the Spirit, and the Spirit says, don't do that, son. Stay within the boundaries of the Scripture. So if I'm led by the Spirit, then it keeps me under the authority by which God has set for me to obey His word. Now, Elder pointed out, he said, now, does that mean that there are certain things that Yah will say to you? Well, Yah says that is His word. That's His law. And so there are certain things that Yah will say to you that may not be written in the Scripture. So we have to be led by the Spirit. So when I'm led by the Spirit, I always stay within the boundaries or underneath the umbrella of Yah's law, whether He says it verbally or in His word written. That's how we know we're being led by the Spirit of Yah. Somebody said, well, okay, you can't go and find out where Yah told you to make that right turn, you still that left. You can't go find that in the Scripture. But because you're led by the Spirit, you're under the boundaries of the law, what He said, what He decreed. So when Yah decree a thing, I'm led by the Spirit, I am not underneath. I say it umbrella, but I'm saying I am not underneath or lower than the standard by which Yah has set for me to operate on. You be led by the Spirit, you're not under. Look at the word under again. So people think under means that I'm no longer obligated. No, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer obligated. For example, Mama Coke had used and said, well, you know, you're one of these kind of people that do certain things because they said, well, I've been free. I operate in grace. No, if you're led of the Spirit, you don't get outside. You don't get out from under. You don't put yourself in a position where you're outside the boundaries. Those who are led by the Spirit are not under. Not the word as far as under as in, I don't have to do that. What it's saying is the opposite of it. You're not under the law. You're not underneath. You're not lower than the standard that is set. I'll say it that way. Those who are led by the Spirit don't operate underneath the standard of the law. I'm going to prove it to you now. Now, verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under, or you are not lower than the standards of the law. That's what under means. You're not lower than the standards. You're not beneath the standards of the law. Now, the works of the flesh are these. These are the lower standards. Okay? These are the standards that the Scripture tells us that if we're operating that way, then we have now taken occasion to use our freedom to do other things that's not right. And God said, when you love me, you don't operate under this, you don't operate under the radar. You don't fall in these things here. Adultery. Adultery is underneath the standard for the law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thus, a heart issue or love make me say, I'm not going to worship any other god. Because that is under the standard of the law. I'm led by the Spirit, so I am not underneath the standards that the law has set for me to walk in. Okay? So I don't walk in adultery. I don't walk in witchcraft. I don't walk in hatred. Now, all the wordings are coming together to even answer the question that Mama Talk has brought up. Okay, how do these people do these kind of things if they, you know, they want to use Christ as an occasion to do all these things? Well, the scriptures is letting us know there's a standard that fits. And you don't go lower than those standards. Idolatry is lower. Witchcraft is lower. Hatred is lower. Variance is lower. Person may say, well, what are all these definitions? You have to look them up on your own. We don't have enough time. Immolation, you know, immolations are lower. Wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murderers. There goes, I'm going, she mentioned that. That is underneath the law. Thou shalt not kill. That's underneath the law. That's underneath the standard. So he says now, if you're led by the Spirit, you don't go underneath the standard. Because it's a heart issue and you walk in love. Murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they are breaking the laws of the Most High God. Not one of those make us righteous. Why? Christ has given us that liberty. He is the one. He is the door that leads us to the Father. I know a whole lot of people who had to kill anybody, but they're not in right standing with y'all either. I know a whole lot of people who haven't committed adultery or fornication, but it doesn't mean that they're in right standing with y'all. They hadn't broke that law, but that doesn't make them in right standing with y'all. But once Christ has given us the liberty, we say, you know what? Because I love the Father through the Son who has made it all possible to give me this liberty, I want to do what he says. So I'm not going to lower my standard. You have something else?
Can we deal with Romans 8 and 1? Oh, 8 and...
Go ahead. Romans. I'm going to pull up Romans. Then you discuss it and
well,
maybe,
I got questions, so
go ahead.
So I think this is one of the scriptures that gets taken out of context that lead to the mindset of what you talked about, but I don't know necessarily that I have an answer for it.
Okay.
Romans 8:1 says,
let me go on to
there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ and who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In line with what we've been dealing with.
Okay.
For the law of Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Right.
For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh,
mm-hmm.
God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh,
mm-hmm.
and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Colon. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit.
Exactly. So, as we, you want to continue? So, as you look at what you just read, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 4,
yeah.
it is confirming what Galatians 5 is also saying in verse 16.
I mean,
go ahead.
Even verse 5.
Read
part of what you were saying.
Go ahead and read.
Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Exactly.
To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
Neither indeed can be, for then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Exactly. Why? Because, they, as Ron Coach mentioned, they want to go kill, they want to do all these different things, they want to operate in the flesh, so they can't please God because they're always looking for the opportunity to break God's law. Thus, as Elder pointed out, the heart issue and the love issue, which is one and the same. When we love God, we want to do these things. And so that's why it gives you, look at Romans 8, verse 1 through 5. That's what you read, right? Verse 6.
I read all the way to
Verse 8. So Romans 8, verse 1 through 8. And then as you move to the right of the screen, it's talking about the same thing. This I say to him, walk in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? Then it gives the lust of the flesh, the works and the lust. As you see, verse 19, for the works. Okay, the works, the toil, the acts of the flesh. You are the acts. In other words, he's saying these are people who don't love Yah. They don't want to obey his word. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, and murderers, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you the truth, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he turns around and tells you how you obey them. But the fruit of the Spirit. Yah gives, he breathes up on us these things on a daily basis to cause us to stay within the boundaries of what he has said. I'm going to give you love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's your faith. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Why does he say there is no law against us? In other words, there is nothing that can be put there that will keep this, that will keep these words, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. There is nothing in place that can come up against this to cause us not to be able to operate in this. There is no law that can hinder that. There is nothing that can be pulled up before these things that the Spirit breathes up on us, the breath of Yah breathes up on us that causes us to do. There is no law that can hinder. There's nothing that can stop it. Okay, so when you look at, again, it says, for against such there is no law, verse 23. When you look at that, there is no law through the idea of prescriptive usage. Okay, there is no principle that goes against this. Okay? And I found that verse in Romans 7:14. Romans 7:14, I believe. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's the verse I wanted to quote back then. See, the law is spiritual, so when I obey the law, I am operating according to the Spirit. But we know that the law is spiritual, okay? Let's look at the word spiritual in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, non-carnal. So when I do this, I am operating by the Spirit. When I obey what Yah says in his word or what he says to me, Lord, don't do this, Lord, do this. When I obey him, I am being spiritual. It means you're being regenerate. Divinely supernatural. Yah says you have to understand that when you obey the law, for we know that the law is spiritual, so everything we're reading, this is the Spirit. This is what regenerates the mind or causes us to walk in love or causes us to have a heart issue or as we look in Galatians 5:22-23, these are the things that cause us to walk in these words. It's spiritual. The word will regenerate you. That's why it's vitally important for us to get in the word as often as it can, because he regenerates the mind and allows us to keep going on. Know that we got this freedom and we're operating in this freedom. Well, I wanted to use that one. But we know that the law is spiritual. For we're led by the Spirit. Well, when I operate according to his word, I am spiritual. So the person starts saying, oh man, he don't eat pork, anything like that, man. He said he is something. No, I'm being spiritual. what the law has told me. That's what I should and shouldn't do. Things that I should and shouldn't do. So when I do that, I am being led by the Spirit to obey God's word. Okay. And so I'm gonna give this testimony as I get ready to close. But anybody got any other questions, comments? You got anything else to do? As y'all know, or at least some of you may know, I think this is a perfect example to show you how the law was written is spiritual. We obey it because it's a heart issue. We love God. And then we obey what he says is the heart issue that we love y'all. What he tells you, you have to do. Okay? Let me give you an example. Now, I had gone to y'all because there are some things that are getting ready to take place. You know, we've started a construction company, as a ministry. It's like an outreach part of our ministry. And so, you know, what we do here, everybody is involved. It's all of ours, okay? And so, y'all had put it in me. Now, remember, led. And so, y'all had put it in me, and Elder Tay, I've been talking to him, you know, for some, well, I mean, probably a couple of months, man, just doing my homework on trailers and things like this. And so Tim Trailer came up, they had a bid on it, and in fact they was auctioning all of his things, you know, since his death back, I believe it was April. His wife sent me the link to the bid room, so to speak, and you have to set everything up so that you can, you know, be able to do the bid. And I was like, man, I said, and I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, your will be done. You know what we need, you know what we don't need. What we don't need, don't allow. What we need, you know, manifest your glory, and we just want to please you. And so the bid started out, it was $2,000. And I mind you, this trailer, by the way, we have a trailer, but I'm just telling you ahead of time, we have a trailer. It's about probably a $9,000 trailer from what it costs, and then the things that Tim added to it. He probably added another $2,000 or $3,000 to it. So they start out with $2,000, so I bid it on it. Once I bid on it, other people came back and bid on it. Now, remember, we're talking about being led by the Spirit. We're being led by the Spirit. We have a heart issue to obey His word, for the law, Romans 7:14, is spiritual. Okay? But we come. We can be come. We're sold under sin, but we've been redeemed, Romans 7:14. We were sold under sin, but yet we have the liberty. Galatians 5:1. Okay? So, Yah speak to me. Now remember what I said. When we love Yah, we obey what He said. Written, logos, written word, and what He said. Yah will speak things to you. And when you're led by the Spirit, then as Romans, as Galatians 5:18. Okay, I'm going to close this down. Galatians 5:18 says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. In other words, you're not lower than God's word. Okay? You're within the boundaries of His word if you're led of the Spirit. So Yah speaks to me by the Spirit. He breathes up on me. He said, don't be it anymore. He said, here's what you do. Now remember, when Yah says it, it becomes law. He said to you, it becomes law. We know that the law, the written word that we're reading each time we meet, and you read on your own time, hopefully, is it lost? Okay? Now, y'all said, don't bid anymore until there's 1 minute left from the time they close the bid down. He said, wait the 1 minute. I said, okay, y'all. He said, if you do what I tell you, law, if you obey my law, because there's always conditions. He's like, son, I'm not going to make you obey this, but if you want to see, if you want to see come to pass what I want for the ministry at this point, you know, because I was telling the elder, I said, you know, son, the way I look at things, if y'all want it, I'll check into it, fine. If he don't, he closes the door. Either way, it's fine with me. So he gives me a word. I latch onto the word. He said, wait 1 minute, and you'll win it. You have to wait 1 minute. So I'm sitting there. It ended this past Sunday. 1 minute here. Now, I'm showing you how God is doing this to show me how, to show us all at this point with this lesson and the importance of being led. You're led because you walk in love, and it's a heart issue. 1 minute hit, I bid, but there's a problem. I can't remember my bid number, and I can't remember the password. I went completely blank, and God did it on purpose because he wanted to show how when you obey me, boy, you can be stuck on stupid, and it's still going to work. You obey my word, when you're led by me, it always going to work out. And I'm going to show you this has nothing to do with you. Bid 1 minute. 1 minute here, I go to bid. I got a problem. I can't remember my password. I can't remember my bid number. I don't know where it is. I don't know how to go find it. I don't know how to get this bid, to make this bid. And it's under a minute. Really, y'all said, click on that bid box. I clicked on the number, jumped up in the box. I said, okay. I said, okay. Yeah, I can't remember the password itself. 30 seconds. I can't remember the password. Yeah, I don't know. Did I tell you gonna win? I can't remember the password. Yeah, I don't know what to do. Oh. The password is Tim, the first part of the password. He gave me Tim. It's Tim. Okay. 15 seconds left. Yeah, it's Tim. It's something else I put with it. I don't know what it is. It's a building's address. Remember, once he gives you his law, verbally, obey it. I type in Tim, put the building address on it. Click the bid, it goes through. Still got an issue, though. It goes through, but it says your bid has been matched. So the first person who does that bid is the one who's ahead. You may bid the same amount, but if they bid first, then they're the one who wins. Your bid has been equal or better. He said, bid again. By the time it had gotten up to $2,400. He said, bid again. I bid again. By this time, this thing jumped up to 5 minutes because the people realized that there's a competition for this trailer, and so we're going to extend it 5 minutes to allow them to run the price up. I'm simply like, y'all, I ain't going to run no price up here. I got a boundary here. This kid's going to go on past his boundary. 2450, I'm about done. And so, y'all said, refresh the computer. I refreshed. When you refresh the computer, if you understand about anything about refreshing the computer, it'll just resend it and pull the page back up, but it's current. It brings it all current, you know, to the current time frame. So I refreshed it. It showed 3 minutes, but it showed me winning. He said, now, he tell me, let me show you why you finna win. The guy who's competing against you, I didn't tell him to refresh his computer because he's not led by me. So when he clicked on his computer, it just showed him winning. But he got a refresher to see that I did not bid it. But because he's not led, He's just looking on his pain saying, I got this here. I got this here. It's still showing me as a top bidder. I'm constantly refreshing mine every few seconds to see if somebody is coming in and out bid. Y'all refresh it. Refresh it again. Got back down to a minute. Said keep refreshing it. And nobody else going to bid. Just refresh it. Kept doing it. I finally, I refreshed it and it said in. My number was at the top. We won it. Matter of fact, even folks that hosted the thing was talking about, I said, man, you got a good deal on this thing. I said, man, it, you just have to see it and see all what it does, know what we got. I'll put it this way. I say at this point about a $9,000 trailer we got for $2,450. And y'all said, that's the importance of being led by me and staying within the boundaries of what I say, because it's a heart issue and you walk in love for me to obey my word. He said, that's the difference between you and somebody else who's sitting at a computer not being led by me. He said, that's how vitally important it is to be led. So it's like what we have mentioned, I'm getting ready to close. You walk in love, or you are led by the Spirit, verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Don't take that as being said, I don't have to obey the law. Because Mama Cole said, man, I don't understand these people, how they always talking about, you know, they operate this grace and all this, and then they go do all these crazy stuff, and then say, yeah, but I love God. No, if we're led by the Spirit, we stay within the boundaries of what he says. Therefore, we don't kill, we don't commit adultery. We don't do all these other things. We operate in verse 22 through 23. Or anything else he said from example of me obeying his law when he decreed and said, do not bid under 1 minute left. What if I had bid 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Y'all would have been like, avoid it. Don't let it happen. Probably would have been ridiculous. You're correct. Hear me as we close. Love your Yah. Understand that his son, who is our Messiah, our Savior, our Messiah, he's our Savior, has given us the liberty to obey every word that Yah has said, whether it's written, logos, written, or what he has said to you verbally, like he did when he said, don't be in the 1 minute. Both of those are the laws of Yah. When you're led by the Spirit, you operate within his law. When you operate within his law, do exactly what he says and how he says it, whether it's written or whether he speaks it to you by leading you by the Spirit. Let his breath flow down on you to enlighten you to know which decisions you should make. That being later. Okay? And that's what I wanted to share with y'all tonight from a perspective of in a nutshell, walking in the Spirit. That's how you walk in the Spirit. You obey Yah's word. Obey what he says. His law. Okay? Law doesn't make us righteous. Christ is the source that has done that. By doing the will of what the Father has said. But because we love him and our Father, we want to remain under the law. Okay? What I mean by under the law? Not under it as far as bondage, but under it because we have the liberty to be under it because we love the Father and the Son. Okay? That is being led by the Spirit. That's how I live on a daily basis. And I want to encourage each one of you to do the same. Okay, any questions, comments? Thank y'all for your patience. We were about 40 minutes. As long as we're normal, do what we need to have. We're good? Any questions, comments? Okay. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for just this wonderful opportunity to get into your word and to understand what truly it means to be led by the Spirit and to understand that the law is put there for us to obey, not because it makes us righteous, but because we just simply love our Father and the Son. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen.